to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Picayune, Mississippi. Yes, we have moved offices from Nashville, Tennessee to Picayune, Mississippi. We pray that you are enjoying 2016. We just now got into 2016. And listen, we know that great days are ahead. On the radio at WATB Radio, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary. We are so thankful to the Lord for allowing us the honor of interviewing ministers from all over the world. We have interviewed over 200 ministers. It is our honor and pleasure, and we just give all of the honor and glory to God. And listen, check us out on the website at www.watbradio.com. Also, we are on Twitter at WATB Radio. And also, listen, we just want to thank all of you listeners for joining with us and partnering with us over this past year. And thank you for praying for me for better equipment. Amen. But anyways, we want to have Mr. Rick Curry on the line with us today. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm good, June. Thank you so much for having me on the call. I'm delighted to be here. I'm excited to spend these moments with you and address the bride in this exciting day.
Yes, it is a very exciting day, and we are honored to have you on here, sir. Listen, I'm going to read your bio, and then we're going to talk a little bit about your life. Rick Curry was born in Richmond, Kentucky, and has been involved in full-time ministry all of his adult life. He preached his first revival at age 16 and accepted his first pastorate at age of 20. Rick is currently the national director of the Sentinel Group and the Journey to Transformation for the United States. In addition, he also serves as the chairman of the board of the Sentinel Group. He is the lead pastor of Kingsway Church in Pensacola, Florida, and Kingsway Church in Manchester, Kentucky. He provides oversight to all of Kingsway affiliate ministries and congregations. Rick is a much sought-after speaker and storyteller for revivals, conferences, and many gatherings for transforming revival. Listen, let me ask you this, Pastor. What is the Sentinel Group?
The Sentinel Group is a global network, a global fellowship, and it is a ministry that was started nearly 30 years ago by George Otis Jr. out of Seattle. And if you or any of your listeners have seen any of the transformation videos from Cali, Colombia, or any of those videos from Guatemala, any of those transformation videos, all of those come from the Sentinel Group and the research and storytelling capabilities of Sentinel, who is sharing the message of God's transforming revival all over the world.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Dr. June, have you ever seen any of the transformation videos?
I don't know if I have, honestly.
Okay, look, I'm gonna after the radio call, I'll send you a few that maybe you can give away. You can look at it. Maybe you could give away on future calls for your listeners.
Yes, that would be awesome. We would be honored. And moving on to the Kingsway Church in Pensacola, Florida, how do you have one in Manchester? Is that like the sister church or what?
No, we have, like you read in the bio, we started in ministry very young, and we have planted a number of churches across the United States that we give some oversight to. And we started the church in Manchester just a couple of years ago. And we have works in Indiana and other places scattered around the country.
But
I give oversight to most of those. My wife and I now live here in Pensacola. And we started Kingsway Church here about 12 years ago. And but our son and his wife, our eldest son and his wife, have just moved back to Pensacola. And they're going to begin to lead the church here locally. And it's going to free my wife and I up to begin to travel again full time. And that's what we're really excited about in 2016.
Wow, thank you, Jesus.
Yep. So we're going to be traveling full time. And we're really excited about what the Lord is doing all over the country and indeed globally as well.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this, Mr. Curry. On your bio, you talk about how you started as a young man. I reflect back to my children. They all started, too, since the time they was five. So that must mean you have a very much a praying mother.
Well, no statement could be said that would be more true than that. My mother, I grew up in a divided home, Dr. June. I grew up in a divided home spiritually. Everything that my mother was for God, my father was contrary to. And my mother has been the most wonderful, inspiration in my life and in my brother's life. And she's a great praying mom that really made a difference in our lives at an early age.
Oh, well, thank God for your mother. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that she's listening to this broadcast.
That would be awesome.
Okay, now listen, Mr. Curry. If you don't mind being a little bit transparent with the bride and tell us, what did God do in your younger years to call you into the ministry? How did your salvation start?
Well, that's awesome. Of course, I grew up in a local church in a little bitty small town called Richmond, Kentucky. And one of the things that my mother made certain of, and that is that her sons, there are five of us, that all of her sons would be in church regularly. And for my mother, regularly meant if the doors are open, then we are there.
Right.
That's what regular meant. And,
yes.
My mother, when we were young, found it very beneficial to send us to children's camps and youth camps. And so I used to go to a youth camp in near Flemingsburg, Kentucky, a little campground called Mount Hope Camp. And we would go there. And that little place right there became an absolute place of encounter and life destiny for me as the Lord just in those camps and really began to transform our hearts at a very early age. I met my wife, Jennifer. We just celebrated 36 years of marriage. And
wow, congratulations.
Isn't that pretty awesome?
Yeah.
But we met right there at the campground. And the Lord just really began to do a great work in our lives that set us on a lifetime journey of encountering the Lord and allowing Him to use us in any way that He wanted. Jennifer and I met when we were about 14 years old, and we got married young. We started ministry young, And now we have two grown sons, both of whom are married. And all of our sons and their wives are now here in Pensacola involved in the ministry with us. And
wow.
We just could not be more excited about all that the Lord is doing.
Wow, that is a blessing of the Lord.
Ma'am, for sure. We're really excited.
Yes, now let me ask you this, Pastor. I ask all of our ministers on the broadcast, if you had 5 minutes to talk to the bride, and if you need more, that's fine, but to talk about current day events, what is going on in America, what would you say to them, whether it be an apostolic word or correction or whatever?
Well, you know, I think really I would begin to say that the Lord is restoring to the bride of Christ a jubilant sight in dark times.
Wow.
And, you know, just the other day I began to write a little bit that I really believe that the light always shines the brightest when the night is the darkest. And I believe that here in 2016 that the Lord is restoring to his body a jubilant sight. I think the other thing, Dr. June, that I would remind them is I would like to remind the body of Christ that there is a cause in the earth that's greater than any one of us individually, and it exceeds all of us collectively, and we must come together. We must agree together and stand together and believe together that the greatest days for our nation and the nations of the earth still yet lay ahead of us. You know, I began to write the other night, and let me just share with you a little bit out of my journal what I was writing.
Yes, please.
This is some of the things that I would begin to say to them. Here's what I begin to write. The subtle embrace of night has cast her shadow across the brow of the young handmaiden of liberty. Night's alluring embrace seems to seduce the nation further into an abyss of compromise slouching towards chaos. The brilliant hope of the nations and the grand experiment of self-governance seems to be reeling to and fro from the weight of her confusion and the toll of her compromise. America is staggering like a drunken fool from compromised values, confusing and unsustainable standards, and a glamorized chaos. Where is the leadership compelled by vision for America's future that is truly worthy of her good path? Where are the champions of mercy and the heralds of brotherly love? Where are those who will lay down their lives to bring us together and to stand for a cause greater than ourselves? And I think, you know, Dr. June, that's kind of where I would begin. We must allow the Lord, we must allow the Holy Spirit in days that are dark and times that are trying to give to the body of Christ a jubilant sight, that we might see the harvest and that we might believe that our best days lay ahead of us and not behind us. One more thing
here,
recently I came across a quote that I absolutely love. And the quote is from the former president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, who in 2007, when he was speaking to a joint session of Congress, President Sarkozy at that time said, "What has made America great is her ability to transform her dream into the hope of all mankind."
Aww.
And I really love that.
Yes, that is awesome.
And I believe Dr.
Now, listen, Pastor, I have got to throw this in there. That encouragement that you gave to the bride about how we need to all come together during this dark hour that's coming. My book is coming out in January called Clarion Call to Unity in God's Great Garden. And it's about, this is the time, there is a clarion call on the Spirit to the bride to come together, drop all of our differences. This is not the hour for that anymore. And the garden part is about the revelation God gave me of our identity in him, how we're trees, bearing fruit, connecting to the vine, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it is. You're so right. We are in the hour that we must come together because darkness is covering the earth. Amen. Okay, now let me ask you this. We're going to hit on Kentucky in a minute.
Okay.
Now, there is a sovereign move of God going on in Kentucky, the Appeal to Heaven campaign in Kentucky. Would you please tell the bride what's going on there?
Yes, ma'am. And let me just introduce for you and your listeners, any that may not know what the Appeal to Heaven, you know, even the phrase comes from.
Okay, yes.
Back about a year and a half ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, it was really a dream that was focused on America's awakening, a great transforming revival that is coming to this nation. Well, without going into the details of the dream at this time, at the end of the dream, I saw a great minister friend of mine and many of your listeners, a great author and teacher. I saw him in my dream, and that is Dutch Sheet. I saw him in my dream, and in the dream, he was waving a flag. Now, I got up the next morning, and I began to tell my wife, I said, I dreamed about this flag last night. And she said, well, have you ever seen it before? And the answer was no. And she said, well, do you think it really exists? And I said, well, you know, I don't have a clue. I never even really thought that maybe it was a real flag. And so she said, well, why don't we Google it? So I recorded in my dream, I mean, I recorded in my journal this dream. And I would encourage all of your listeners to be sure and journal prophetic words of the Lord and events and encounters of their life, because it would just help them to grow in so many ways. But I recorded the dream in my journal, and then my wife and I sat down and we Googled a white background flag with an evergreen tree, and it had writing on it. That's exactly what I Googled. Well, here popped up the flag that I had never seen before in my lifetime. And listen to me, Dr. Now, in the 2 years since this dream, I have shared this dream all over the country. And as I have shared it, I have never met one person who saw this flag before the dream that I had. And I shared it with Dutch, and you know, Dutch Sheets came out with a new book based on my dream that's entitled Appeal to Heaven. Jennifer LeClaire, the now editor of Charisma Magazine, she's just come out with a new book telling the story of my dream, which the name of her book is The Next Great Move of God.
Yeah.
Well, I begin to realize as I studied this flag that this flag is one of the earliest flags in all of American history. This flag was inspired by John Locke in the writing of the Second Treatise on the Government. The evergreen tree, the founding fathers of our nation referred to as the Tree of Liberty. And many times our founding fathers and those generations, when they would enter into a covenant agreement with the First Nations people or others, they would often do it under an evergreen tree. They viewed the evergreen tree to be based on the eternal covenant of God, based out of Genesis chapter 21. And so they had a high reverence for the evergreen tree, and that's why George Washington is the one who commissioned the flag, and he commissioned it to fly over the ships that made up the Continental Navy. George Washington, General George Washington, funded the Continental Navy in the days of our founding. He funded that Navy out of his own pocket. And aboard those ships, he flew this flag that is a white background flag with an evergreen tree in the middle, and on it had the words of an appeal to heaven. Now, the reason John Locke used those words is because in the Second Treatise of Government, he began to say, when a nation or a people have no other recourse for intervention or no other recourse for help or assistance, they only have one thing left to do, and that is to make an appeal to heaven. And so George Washington and others begin to put this flag together so that it might remind a young fledgling nation to remember that our greatest hope is in the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would cry out and make an appeal to heaven. We have begun to see the Lord as this story has gone out. Dr. June, I have had people send me pictures of them holding up the appeal to heaven flag literally from all over the world, from the Wailing Wall of Jerusalem to the northern plains of Nineveh and northern Iraq, literally all over the world, as people are longing and searching for where is our help going to come from.
I believe
that the dream and many other faithful ministers like yourself and many, many others, we are going to see, Dr. June, we are going to see the greatest move of God that our world has ever known and that our nation has ever known. And being a native of Kentucky, the Lord has really put Kentucky in our heart. And right now we're doing a Kentucky Appeal to Heaven tour. It's going to be our heart, and as your listeners, if they Google Appeal to Heaven or they Google the flag or they Google stories, then they will see many of the things that I'm talking about. But we're doing right now a Kentucky Appeal to Heaven tour, and we are believing that the Lord is going to give us the grace and the ability to carry this state by state as we literally begin to infuse the nation with the hope of God's transforming revival that is absolutely coming to this nation. And we've seen in Kentucky the Lord begin to do some really, really amazing things. Communities are coming together. Churches are coming together. People are just running to the altar. I preached up there just recently on a Sunday morning. And the entire church, not one person in the church was left sitting in their pew at the time of the altar call and ministry time. Everybody in the church was at the altar seeking the Lord, seeking his will for their lives, and seeking his power to be manifest in their cities. Great cities like Owensboro and Louisville and Manchester and Richmond and Lexington and Somerset, all over Kentucky, we are seeing leaders that are coming together and believing that God is going to birth a mighty, mighty awakening in America. And we're seeing the fruits of that in many places, and Kentucky is one of them.
Yes, it's so exciting to see what God's doing. And the appeal to heaven is definitely it's like the Americans are saying the same thing about your story of how the flag was birthed into the earth. It's like the Americans are in the very same place they was right now. And they're
saying,
God, you are the only answer that we have. We have to make this appeal to heaven or bust, you know.
Yeah. And you know,
we're going to take a quick little commercial break, sir.
Okay.
And let me ask you this. Is there a way for anyone that wants to participate, if they're in the Kentucky area or Tennessee or surrounding states, and they would like to be a part of your Appeal to Heaven Kentucky tour, how can they contact you?
Well, they can contact me. One of the easiest ways, of course, is on Facebook for all of your listeners. On Facebook, if they would just search my name, facebook.com/Rick Curry, or they can go to facebook.com and on Facebook do a search for Kentucky Appeal to Heaven Tour. And on there we're giving our giving dates and locations as we move all over the state. I'm going to be back in Kentucky over New Year's Eve and the first weekend of the new year, and then we're going to be back up there again the third week of January. So we've got some really, really important dates coming up that I would encourage
New Year's Eve?
New
I can
Year's
come
Eve.
To that one.
Please do. We would love that.
Where is it at? I would love to live stream it.
We're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to be at a church called the Awakening Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And we were there here sometime back, a couple months ago, and I tell you, it was just a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we're just believing that that weekend the Lord is going to launch us into the greatest year for awakening maybe our nation has ever known.
Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. Okay, we're going to take a quick little break, and listen, listeners, I will post the links up on his page on our website, www.watbradio.com, and I will post the links to his Facebook page so you can participate in that awakening tour for Kentucky. Okay, here we go for commercials. One moment. Vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Vision Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is solely. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, this is Dr. June. We are back tonight. We have Rick Curry with us, who is about to start the Appeal to Heaven Kentucky Tour. You can find that up on the website. Okay, Mr. Curry, listen, we are honored for you to share the word of life to us today. Amen?
Amen. Well, we're excited to do that. We are excited to do that.
Okay, well, go ahead, sir. You have the floor.
All right. Well, I just want to begin by challenging the bride of Christ to understand that these are the greatest days that we have ever known. We are so blessed to have the privilege to live in the midst of the days of trouble. And recently I'd said to Dr. June that I really believe that the Lord was trying to release to the bride of Christ jubilant sight in dark times. And as we begin to look at this, we begin to realize that the Lord is really wanting to restore the vision. And guys, what I want to say to you coming into 2016, the way we view things is the way that we end up judging them. And the way we judge them determines the outcome they have even for us. Recently, I began to write an article wherein I wrote the following thing. Marching throngs of people are making their desperate trek, seeking a place of hope, seeking a refuge in the world. I was awakened this morning to the thoughts of those weary travelers. Some are very nefarious in the earth and very dangerous. Others are simply exhausted and desperate. The innocent ones are like those plucked from the burning and delivered into a safe place, remarkably different than possibly anything they have ever known before. What if we had the courage to love and the confidence to be consistent in our vision that we might see the Lord reap in the earth the greatest harvest that we have ever known? What if we so encountered the authentic fire of His holiness that we counted our lives as nothing? What if you and I could begin to declare with our lives that there is a cause in the earth greater than ourselves? There is a cause right now in the earth that is demanding the bride of Christ come together. That's why I'm excited about Dr. June's new book coming out, and I encourage all the listeners to be sure and order that when it's released, or pre-order it if that's available. The truth of the matter is, the reason the Lord is giving revelation for unity in these days is because there is a cause that is greater than any one of us in this area. Any one of us, we begin to realize that the church, the bride of Christ, is to awaken and come into a new place in the Lord. What if we could experience Him in a new way? What if we were so inspired to courageous acts of love? What if you and I could be like the generations who have gone before us? What if we could be like them and give our lives for a cause greater than ourselves? There are so many stories in history, so many stories of men and women who were willing to lay their lives literally on the line for a cause greater than themselves. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could begin to see that kind of commitment, that kind of sacrifice, those kinds of courageous acts of love in the body of Christ? Throughout history, we've seen them so many times. Let me just tell you one story, though you and I know that there are so many of them. We're reminded of the story of John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe was an awesome, inspiring man of God. John Wycliffe lived in another time in the 18th century, the early 18th century, late 17th century, and the desire of his heart and the mission of his life was to put the Holy Bible into the hands of ordinary men and women. Now, there were lots of obstacles to him putting the Bible in the hands of ordinary men and women. Number one, the Bible had never before been printed for the ordinary man. Number two, it was illegal for a commoner or an ordinary man and woman to even touch a Bible. And in those days, the Bible would be chained to a massive pulpit in a great cathedral or sanctuary, and the common people could not have it. Thirdly, there was no common language. There was no common language for the Bible to be translated into. So listen to this story here just for a moment. It was John Wycliffe and a friend of his by the name of Geoffrey Chaucer. He's the one who wrote the Canterbury Tales. He was a friend of John Wycliffe, and the two of them set in their hearts as their life mission to put the Bible into the hands of ordinary men and women. You know what they were doing? They were giving their lives to a cause that was greater than themselves. Did you know that Geoffrey Chaucer and John Wycliffe began to study the dialect around where they lived in the Midlands and to the south of them in Saxony and in other places there in that great European region of the world? They begin to study these very many different dialects. Finally, they chose the dialect from the Midlands, and they literally begin to form a language that they wanted to become the common language of mankind, and they would translate the Bible into that language. Now, what's amazing about that is, without even realizing at the time, that Geoffrey Chaucer and John Wycliffe created the English language, which would become the greatest language of liberty and business in all of the world has ever known. Geoffrey Chaucer along with John Wycliffe, they begin to translate the Bible. They begin to put it in the hands of ordinary men and women. You know why that was so important? It's because when the Word of God is planted as a seed in the heart of ordinary men and women, then the response of the heart will bring great change into the earth. And they begin to translate the Bible, and they begin to get into the hands of common people. And the story is too long to go into all the details. But let me share this with you. John Wycliffe, he thought much of his life that he would end up being martyred. John Wycliffe was never martyred. He died a relatively old man in his late 60s for that time. And he was buried in the little churchyard at Lutterworth. But the problem was, nearly 100 years later, both the political establishment, the secular government, and the religious order of his day, the Catholic Church, both of them were fed up with what they called John Wycliffe preaching from the grave. I love that right there, because John Wycliffe began to live for a cause in his lifetime that was greater than himself and greater than others. We know we have embraced a vision from God when we realize the vision is too great for me. The mission assignment is too great for me. I cannot do this alone. I cannot accomplish this alone. And John Wycliffe died and he was buried. And nearly 100 years later, both the religious order and the secular governmental order of the day were tired of Wycliffe preaching. So you know what they did? They decided to dig up his body because they were tired of pilgrims coming to Wycliffe's grave and thanking him on the grave for the Bible that they now held in their hand. They would take stones and chip off pieces of his headstone and carry it back to their home as a relic from Wycliffe's grave. The church could have no more of it. So they ordered a group of monks to dig up his body. When they dug up Wycliffe's body, they burned it to a crisp. They took mallets and crushed his bones to a powder. And then they took the powder that was his body and they began to cast it into a little stream that still flows behind the church at Lutterworth. And the little stream carried his body in powder, carried it to the Severn. The Severn carried it to the sea, and the sea scatters it to the four corners of the earth. What is amazing about that is Wycliffe himself had declared that one day that the gospel, like his body, would be carried to the ends of the earth, to the four corners of the earth. And I'm telling you all today, when we begin to live for a cause greater than ourselves, the Lord will bring absolutely supernatural relationships and resources to our disposal that we might steward the vision that he's put in our hearts. Listen
yes,
to me.
Yes, Lord.
Is a year for vision. It's a year for supernatural visitation. It is a year for incredible outpouring. It is a year where we're going to begin to see revivals break out in communities, and people are going to be able to begin to say, can you come over here and help us? Or could you come over here and help us? We're going to begin to see a move of God in 2016 that is not personality-based, but it's going to be presence-driven. What if we could face every fear? What if we could face every fear that raises up as a standard of cowardice against the call of God on our lives? And what if we could make the decision at the cross of Jesus to become the force in the earth that he has empowered his ecclesia, his church, his bride to become? What if in 2016 our vision was his vision? Church, I want to say to you today, I want to remind you today that we are America. We are a nation that has inspired hope, and we have delivered continents America has deposed evil men and rushed globally to crisis after crisis, demonstrating mercy to humanity and a courageous resolve to bring hope to the world and light to the nations. We have given fortunes as a nation to feed the world, to embrace the orphan, to rebuild nations. And we have been a beacon of mercy unlike the world has ever seen. Our fathers and mothers have sacrificed their lives. They've sacrificed their all to storm the beaches of Normandy and push the oppressors out. They parachuted into jungles, they breached walls, they moved covertly and always bravely. That hope of America and the experiment of self-governance must bring hope to all of mankind. And I want to say to you today, we are seeing through the Appeal to Heaven movement, we are seeing through many other movements, revivals and awakenings occur. We're seeing moves of God in denominations as people begin to turn their hearts back to the Lord, because we are living in truly perilous times.
Yes.
And in perilous times, it was John Locke who said that when a people have no other recourse, then they make an appeal to heaven. And I believe that in America today, the Lord is releasing jubilant sight in dark times, a renewed vision where the Lord is beginning to cause us to see what we've not been seeing, cause us to begin to see in areas that we've been previously blinded to. I believe the Lord will begin to release jubilant sight, released when we will be sent into areas where he has called us to go into. I believe that the Lord is releasing in 2016 a jubilant vision, a jubilant hope of the world. I believe today that the Lord is calling each one of us to ask ourselves a question. Is there not a cause? Is there cause in our generation? Bride, I want to ask you today, are you aware that the young Martin Luther in the days that preceded the Reformation, when he was just a little boy, did you know that Martin Luther grew up in abject poverty? His parents could not even help him. And did you know that as a young boy, Martin Luther would move about the streets on blistering, cold, wintry mornings, and he would stand before closed doors of simple little cottages and homes, and Martin Luther would begin to sing beautiful hymns out in the homes, hoping that someone would come and open up the door and maybe give him a morsel of bread or maybe a little breakfast. Did you know that on one wintry morning, he stood by the home of a man whose last name was Cotta, and he knew that they were a wealthy people, but he was so starving in such great poverty that Martin Luther began to realize that he did not know how his life could continue unless somebody intervened and helped him. So he stood before the Cotta house one morning, and he began to sing. It was Christmas. And suddenly on the inside of the house, the unthinkable thing happened. And that is Herr Cotta's wife, her name was Ursula. She begins to hear the young boy singing outside of her house. She recognized his voice from the church choir. She goes to the back door. She opens it up. And she welcomes Martin Luther into her home. Ursula Cotta would feed him that morning the grandest breakfast he said a boy could ever sit down to. He began to share in that breakfast, and he say for the first time in his life, he could eat all that he really wanted to eat. In that time, Ursula Cotta began to take him under herself. She began to raise him and would become a mother to him, supporting him and encouraging him. Here's what I'm saying to you. Who would have imagined in a young man by the name of Wycliffe that God could plant in him the seed of a cause that would be the defining moment, not only for his life, but for all of mankind. Who would
wow.
have thought, in a little boy lost in abject poverty, that God would plant the seed of a reformation, and God would use a lady to give him love on a blistering wintry morning by feeding him a breakfast and loving him the rest of the days of his life? Who could have imagined that in this boy, God had planted the seed of the greatest reformation the world has ever known? You and
wow.
I may say, but I know John Wycliffe. Or you may say, but I know Martin Luther. And that's true. But history is full of men and women just like that, whether it's William Seymour or Jonathan Edwards
yeah.
or John Wesley or so many others that have marked forever the great mark of the gospel upon generations because they were willing to dream a dream and cast a vision that was greater than themselves, greater than who they are. And so I just want
wow.
to encourage you this evening, in these moments, I want to encourage you to open your eyes and see that the harvest fields are white in the harvest. See
yes.
today that the Lord is great and he is good. See today that his blood shed on Calvary is fully sufficient and more than enough to cleanse every sin, to purge every heart, to restore every broken life, and to empower every believer to embrace a cause greater than ourselves. So, Lord, I just pray right now for jubilant
yes, Lord.
Sight to be released upon the hearers, jubilant sight in dark times, released
yes.
upon the hearers. Let the listeners today and those that share this with others be encouraged today because
yes.
the embrace of night's shadow is beginning to give way to the greatest dawn the nation has ever known. Jesus
wow.
is coming. Jesus is coming to visit
yes.
his people, to touch our hearts, to transform our ministries and churches and cities. And he's coming to cause us to embrace a cause greater than ourselves. And I think, Dr. June, just off the top of my head, that's kind of the message that I would begin to share, with the listeners today, and really ask that the Holy Spirit would engrip us with a vision greater than ourselves.
Yes, and one of the chapters in my book is about an appeal to heaven. The other chapter is about martyrdom, and it talks
wow.
about how we do not have to fear martyrdom because they are not going to take our lives until God says so. And this
Amen.
Is a call for us to take our armor, to get in the army, and to do whatever God has called us to do at all costs. A reckless abandonment to his will on the earth.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And you know, If I can go back to when I had the dream about
yes.
the appeal to heaven, if I can go back to that for a moment,
yes.
it's really
yes.
interesting too, because on the night that I had the dream, the first morning when I awakened and I began to share it with my wife Jennifer, I shared with her about the flag as I stated a few moments ago. But I want to tell you something. There were other components of that dream that for me were as significant as the flag itself. And
right.
one of those things was, listen to me, there is a sound happening in the earth, and the sound are of the footsteps of the people who are coming to the cross of Jesus, and they're going to find in him a fully sufficient Savior who is able to save to the uttermost and to heal every disease and sickness, and he's able to raise up a body to do what no generation before us has done. There is a sound that is being released in the earth, and it is the sound of awakening. And
yeah.
uh, we're just excited. I can't wait to read your book. I think it'll be a great book, and I encourage everybody to pick that up.
Yes, when we get off here, after the call is done, I would like for you to stay on the line. I'd like to talk to you about that book a moment. But listen, before we get off here, Bride, we ask that all of you come into agreement. We are going to pray, because listen, we are going to pray for him today, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. And as we pray for Mr. Curry, and for God to fulfill everything in him that he has chosen before time began to do in him, God will turn around and reap into us what we sow into him. So today, let's sow prayer and sow support and sow love into his life and into his family. So today, let's all bow our heads and come together in agreement. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. The bride is coming together in agreement. No matter what point of time they're listening to this broadcast, we are coming together in agreement and locking our arms around Rick Curry today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you chose to bring him on the broadcast for such a time as this. You chose for his life to have the voice in the earth for such a time as this. And the seed that was released today to the bride from the tree of life in heaven through him, we receive it today. We receive it in the bride, Lord. Let us rise up and to meet the call that you are calling us to today, Lord, the expectations that you chose us to live in this generation for such a time as this. Let us meet that, Lord, and honor you in this time, Lord. We thank you because you did. You chose us, and you chose him to lead the army in this time, Lord. We thank you, God, for his life, everything he's been through. We thank you for his praying mama. We ask right now, God, that you bless his mom. We pray, Lord, that you just flood her with your presence. Flood her with your glory, Lord. Increase in her prayer life, Lord. Thanking you that she has set up a standard against the enemy and say, you can't cross this line when it comes to my son. She has fought and travailed for him, Lord, and now he's able to do what he's called to do, him and his brothers too, probably. And we thank you for that, God. So bless her today, Lord. And for Rick and his family, Lord, we pray blessings on them. Bless them and keep them, Lord. Everything that they need, Lord, we pray you provide it, Lord. Give his wife all of her heart's desires, Lord, for suffering with him, going through the things she did with him, all the many 36-something years that they've been together, Lord. Blessing her, Lord, for being with him, holding up his arms, Lord. People have no idea probably what that woman has been through to help him to be the man of God that he is today. And we just say thank you, Lord, for her life. Just give her extra blessings in 2016, Lord. Thank you for her, Lord. For his children, Lord, protect his children. We plead the blood of Jesus over his children and grandchildren in the name of Jesus, Lord. And for Rick, we hold up his arms right now in the spirit, Lord. We call down every blessing that's due to him, all of the tools and strategies from heaven, from the storehouses to come down and to help him to be the man of God you have called him to do, Lord. We just pray, Lord, angels to come down to encamp about him, angels to encamp about his family, Lord. We speak against any warfare that's trying to move in on him in the name of Jesus. We tell you, step back in the name of Jesus, because we set up a standard against you right now as the bride. We thank you right now, Lord, that you have called him for such a time as this, and where there is vision, there is provision, and we're calling in that provision right now in Jesus' name. Favor. Favor from government officials, Lord. Favor from other ministers, Lord. Favor with buildings. Favor with things that he needs, Lord. Everything coming together and lining up so that he can do the mission that you have called him to do, Lord. We Lord. Thank you and give you praise for his life. We thank you and give you praise for the visions that is on the inside of him, Lord. And they shall come to pass in Jesus' name. So we thank you for him Lord. Being here with us today, Lord. We bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Pastor,
Amen.
We would love if you would pray for our ministry and pray for the bride, please.
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless you, and I thank you for Dr. June. I thank you for her ministry. I thank you, Father, for her listeners, every one of them individually. And I pray,
yes.
Father, right now that through whatever format or whatever time that they receive and hear this message, I pray that it will be a kairos moment where the Spirit of the Lord just begins to pour out upon them supernatural blessings.
Yes, Lord.
From this ministry and from Dr. June, Father, I pray
yes.
that this year, 2016, will be her greatest year, her most bountiful and supernatural year. Father, we
yes,
pray Lord. Supernatural favor and blessing upon her and her ministry. Father, we call in new equipment and everything.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray right now, Lord, we just call in right now kings that will sow into
yes,
her ministry.
Lord.
That she will bound a season of increase. And God, that
yes.
she will increase in a season of abounding. And Lord, I just pray for her supernatural protection, provision.
Yes, Lord.
God, we pray right now for prosperity to come to the ministry. That she
yes,
might
Lord.
Reach more and more people with the power of this medium and the truth of her message.
Yes.
Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would pour out upon every listener. God, give us fresh eyes to see in this
yes,
year
Lord.
All that you want us to see. Lord, let us lift up our eyes and see
yes,
the
Lord.
Great things you've called us to do. Release faith upon this body in the name of
yes.
Jesus. I thank you, Father, for those faithful listeners that listen to Dr. June all the time. I thank you for them.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, Lord, that all of us would learn to sow into this ministry, to be a blessing to this ministry, to help and encourage her by praying for her and lifting
yes.
up her hands and all of those who make this ministry possible. We
yes,
bless you,
Lord.
Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Well, Bride, you have a wonderful day. And, Pastor, if you don't mind staying on a moment.
Okay.
Okay, one moment.